Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Bava Basra, Daf Hei, Daf Ches. We are holding three lines off the top of the Amud. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chizda, he was in charge of collecting the, imposing the head tax, which they collected for the king. Rama Karga, so he imposed this head tax on the Rabbonon as well. So he required them to contribute to the tax fund. Amalei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak challenged him. How could you do that? How could you include the Talmid HaChamim as well? Avaris, you have now violated threefold. Adai Raisa, on a halacha, on a lesson that is presented in the Torah, in the Chumash, Vadinaviye, as well as in the Navi, Vadiksuve, and we find it in the Ksuvim as well. So it's a triple violation on a concept which is clearly presented in the Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, that the Talmid HaChamim are meant to be exempted from these taxes because of their immersion in Torah. Where do we find it in the Chumash? Adai Raisa, the Ksuv. So this pasuk in Vezeis Habracha, the Gemara will learn as follows. Amar Moshe, this reflects a, it's reflective of a conversation that Moshe had with Hashem. Amar Moshe lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe turns to Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World. Afilu b'shoa shatach mechavev amim. Even during the difficult, dark times of exile, when Hashem appears to sort of favor the goyim and put them on top and in control of your sons, your Klal Yisrael, still have a special eye, Kavayachal. Watch over the Chachamim, Kol Kedosha B'yodecha. The Kedoshim, the Chachamim, they should be in your hands, and you should guard them. V'hem Tukul Raglecha, what is that going on? What is Tukul Raglecha? That's describing the tremendous commitment of these Chachamim to learning Torah. Tani Rav Yosef, Elu, Talmidei Chachamim, these are the Chachamim Shemekatatim Ragleim, they drag their feet, Meir Le'ir, Umimdina, from town to town, from city to city, from state to state, Umay Torah, to learn Torah. So they go and they travel great distances to learn Torah. Yisum Mit Abrisecha, right, so they travel Yisum Mit Abrisecha, to immerse in Torah, Lisa Velitein, to give and take, to discuss, to toil in what? Bediburoisav Shel Makim, in the words of Hashem. So the pasuk here is telling us that they get special status. Hashem guards them, and Hashem gives them special status that they are pater from taxes. Now, what's the connection between the two? I mean, if they're guarded, that's why they're pater from taxes. So in the Sefer here, Mishpat Tzedek, says beautiful vart, based on the Rush in Simchat Tes, that the reason why Goyim guard the Yidden under their jurisdiction is because they have benefit from their presence, because they pay taxes. So since Talmid Chachamim don't require Shemira, as we learned yesterday, the Torah guards them, so the whole point of paying so that the Goyim should guard them and look after them, well, they don't need the Goyim's services, so therefore they're pater, they're exempt from taxes. So we found a source in the Chumash and Parshas Vezeis Habracha to exempt the Chachamim from taxes. Ad Nevi'e, and he told them, look, you violated something we find in the Nevi'im as well, the Chsiv. The Pasuk says, Gam, the Pasuk in Hoshea, Gam, Ki yitnu magoyim ata akabtsem v'yachelu ma'ot mimaso melech v'sorim. Okay, says the Gemara, what does this mean? V'amrula. Pasuk ze b'loshon Rambam nemar. The word ki yisnu in Lashon Kodesh means to provide, to give. But here it's in Aramaic. And yisnu means to study. Like shinun, like yishnu, like mishnah, right? Itanu kulu ata akabtsem. So Pasuk here is telling us, look, if the entire Klal Yisrael, or at least most of Klal Yisrael, are immersed in Torah, Ata Akabtsim, Hashem promises to gather them from the exiles and to bring them to the Gula. Vim Ma'at Me'em, but if only a small portion of Klal Yisrael are doing that, are learning Torah, so although they don't merit immediate redemption, but yochelu means ashen of lo yachel devarei, Rashi says, nullify, they'll be exempt. Mimasa melech v'sarim, from the yoke, right, being financially committed in terms of tax commitments, to the melech v'sarim, to the king and the ministers. So basically, we learn from here that they have an exemption, a tax exemption. And furthermore, the chesuve, we find the same in the chesuve, this was when the king Daryavish instructed the minister who was looking after collecting taxes from the residents of Eretz Yisrael. He says, look, there is a segment of the population that are exempt from taxes. And he was referring to the those who are building the Beis HaMikdash. And Tosfos says that, likewise, if it affects those individuals because of their, you know, clergy status, likewise, the Loim Dei Torah would be included and covered by this exemption as well. And what did he tell him? These are three different types of taxes. There's no authority to impose these taxes on these clergy people. What are these three types of taxes? Minda zu manas ha-melech, that's the set taxes which go to the king. Beloy zu kesef golgota, that's the head taxes. And v'halach, that is arnoina, a percentage of your income or whatever that you have to provide the king. Continues the Gemara, Rav Papa Rama Karya Chalata, he imposed the cost for the payment for the cost to dig out a new well to produce a new water source for the town. Ayasmi, he imposed that obligation on young orphans as well, so everybody had to contribute equally. Amarle Rav Shisha, Breda Rav Idi, Rav Papa. So Rav Shisha challenged him. How could you do that? You know, you can't just include the Yisayim in all the, you know, all the collections that we make, because they're not obligated to contribute unless they have direct benefit. And in this case, sure, we're attempting to find some more water for the town, but perhaps you'll not discover water, in which case it's money down the drain. And the Yisayim, says Rashi, are katanim, they don't have the ability to forgive and to be meichel. So how could you collect this money ahead of time? Armalis, he says, you're right. Mishko shakil minayu. Currently I'm collecting this payment, but I'm holding on to it, pending further development. E midvil, if we discover, you know, water, if we're successful, midvil, fine, then great, we'll keep the money below, but otherwise, certainly I will refund them their money, mahadarna lohani alai. And the Mefarshim explained, you know, we don't do this to all the other residents. We don't refund them the money for a failed enterprise. And the reason is because, you know, it's part of the it's part of the deal. You have to be willing to invest, right, in order to, you know, take your chances. It's just the way things work. But by Yisayim, they're not obligated to do that unless they actually have direct benefit. And in this case, you have to wait and see what happens. Amar Rav Yehuda HaKoil La'agle gapa. All residents, even the Yisayim, afilu miyasmi, even them, right? We collect from everybody for the agle, for the gates of the gapa of the city walls, which provide protection, right? Aval rabbanon leitzrichan etrusa. We're back to the chachamim again. They don't need that. They don't have to contribute to that because they don't need shemira. They have the Torah guarding them. Hakoy lekari pasya. But when it comes to digging for water, everybody has to contribute. Afilu rabbanon, kari means to dig. Pasya, says Rashi, is another way to refer to a water pit. And actually, Rashi says the pasya is the kli, the sort of the pail that's lying there, and that's how it got its name. And it's only true that the rabbanon will contribute el delenafki ba'chluza. If we're just collecting money, we're not actually asking the residents to personally come out and dig. Aval nafki ba'chluzah, if they're coming out by the multitudes, meaning they're doing it personally, in this case, Rabbonon lav b'nei meipak b'chluzanin, Rabbonon are exempt because it's not befitting for them to come out and dig for water. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, right? Pasach oitzreis b'shnei batzeres. It was a time of famine, and he opened up the warehouses, stores of food to provide food for the crowd. Omar, he says, I'm being selective. You can't sue Bali Mikra. Only those who study Torah can come in. The ones who study Chumash, Bali Mikra, the ones Bali Mishnah, the ones Mishnayis, Bali Gemara or Mishnayis, Bali Halacha, Bali Agada, Aval Ame Oretz, but the people are totally bereft of Torah. Al Yikansu, if you don't engage in Torah, you're not deserving of provisions. Dachak Rabbi Yenusim ben Amram. So Rabbi had a Talmud, Rabbi Yenusim ben Amram, and he sort of squeezed his way into Venichnas without identifying himself. Amalai. Rabbi Parnassani, he turned to Rabbi, says, provide for me, and Rabbi, for some reason, didn't recognize him. Amar Lois, he says, B'ni, my son, Karisa, are you involved in learning Chumash? Amar Lois, in love, he didn't want to take credit for his Torah, he didn't want to make money off his learning. So he sort of played it down. No, I'm not a learned person. Shanisa, what about Mishnayis? Amar Lois, love, he says, no. Im came by Ma'afar Secha, so Rabbi says to him, look, I'm in a predicament. Based on what merit do you expect me to provide for you? He says, Parnesene ki kelev ka'ira. Look, I'm no more than a dog or a raven. And Rashi explains that he specifically mentioned these animals because we find in the Gemara on Shabbos that the Gemara explains that Hashem has special mercy on these animals who have a hard time finding food because the kelev, he's a domestic fellow, but he... He's not really fed too often by people, so Hashem arranged that his food should last in his system. It should last for 3 days. This way, he needs less food. And the Oirev, Rashi says, the Oirev is achzori, not very compassionate on his kids. Doesn't really provide for them. So Hashem generates flies from their waste, and this way, the baby ravens can find food. In any case, that was his reference. That was his mashal. Listen, I'm no worse than those animals that Hashem takes care of. Please provide for me as well. Parnas says, Rabbi acquiesced and gave him. Busted enough after he left the house. You also have Rabbi become a tzaddik. Rabbi felt bad. He was distressed. Vamar, he says, Oili shenosati piti lam oretz. Woe to me that I provided my bread to am oretz. Amar lafana, Rabbi Shimba, Rabbi, so son of Rabbi Shimba turned to him. He says, guess what? Maybe he was really worthy of your kindness. Shema yoinusim ben Amram, tamidchu. Maybe he's your Talmud, yoinusim ben Amram. Sheni roitzu lahan as mekawai toira miyamav. Who, didn't want to identify himself as a Talmud Chacham. He didn't want to benefit off his learning. That's for Adam Haba. He doesn't want to, use Torah as a means for, Batku v'ashach. In fact, they investigated and discovered that he was, in fact, that person. And going further, Rebbe says, I'm a Rebbe. You can't so coil. I'm allowing everybody in, I guess, because of the story. Right, so you don't want to take any chances to lock out the ones that are really deserving, and it was an open door policy going forward. Now, why was Rabbi so selective? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Latame, Rabbi follows his own shita. The Amar Rabbi said, "Ein puranos bala olam el b'shvil amiaros." The amaros are the catalyst, are the cause for the any misfortunes and any lack of bracha because of their unwillingness to tap into the bracha of Torah, as we find in the following story. Kahu. They make klila the shadu atveria. So the king decided to require the residents of the city of Tveria in Yerushalayim to pay for the new crown. They make klila, pay for the crown. Also, come to Rabbi. So the residents come to Rabbi. Amr Lein, they told him, "Leis for Rabban Abadon. Everybody should contribute equally, even the chacham Amr Lein." He says, "No, chacham are exempt." Amr Lein, they said, "Okay, you know what? If you don't want to impose it on them, Arukinan, we'll run away, and they'll be stuck with the." Obligation. Amrli Arku. So Rabbi says, "Be my guest. Leave." Arku. So they disappeared. They left town. And guess what happened? Arku Palgeon. On half of them, let's say there were 100 residents, half disappeared. And suddenly the king dropped the imposition by 50%. Dolyu Palgo. They removed half the fee. Why? Because half the Amorites were not there. So Hashem arranged it that it should. So it was a clear indication that in fact. They are sort of to blame for this entire episode. Asuhano Paulo, okay, the Rebbe. One second, we're not done. So the 50 remaining residents come back to Rebbe. Amrle, and again, they demand, Lesu Rabbanu Bahadon, we want the Chacham to contribute with us. Amrle, who lies? He says, absolutely not. Arukinan, you know what? They threaten to run away. And now the Chacham will be stuck holding the bag. Araiku, she says, run away, leave town. Arukukul, so they all disappeared. Pasha, Ukaivis, except for one laundry man, he stayed behind. And guess what? Shadu HaKoyves, he gets a letter in the mail that he, and only he, must fully fund this whole enterprise. Arak HaKoyves, so he left town. Pukaklila, suddenly they cancel the whole imposition. Amar Rebbe, so Rebbe said, oh, there you go, Reisan, don't you see? Shein Puranos Baloilam, Elabashvil Amaretz. The whole reason for this whole episode was the Amaretz. So this pretty much proves that notion. Okay, back to the Mishnah. V'kama yehi be'ir v'yehi kanchi ir. So Mishnah speaks about all residents in a city having to contribute to the chayma and the lasayim, right? All the municipal needs. V'ramini, so Mishnah says that if you're there for 12 months, you're considered a local resident and have to carry the share the burden. V'ramini, we have a kasha. Hachameres, v'agameles. So we're speaking about the halacha of Ir HaNidachas. Let's say an entire city was swept into doing Avodah Zarah. So they're considered Ir HaNidachas, and the whole city is put to death by way of sword, and their money is totally destroyed as well. And this is in contrast to, let's say, an individual who commits the Isra of Avodah Zarah. The einish, the punishment, is skila, different type of punishment, and his money is not affected. His assets are not sort of included in this process. So what if you have some visitors who have been staying around in Iran Idachas, and they were sort of taken along and swept along to do Avodah Zarah? Are they considered like locals and are included under the same sort of rules, the same procedure that applies to the local people applies to them as well, or not? So it depends how long they were there. Hachameres v'agamelos, you have a group of donkey drivers or camel drivers. Hoiveres v'makim v'makim, traveling from place to place. V'lanu b'soicha v'utchimon, they stayed in this town and they got taken along to do Avodah Zarah. So although they're liable to death, but a different process is applied. Hein b'skila, they get skila. Umayn and palat, and their assets are not affected. Don't become asra. V'im nishtau shlam shloshim yoyim, but if they stayed there for 30 days, now they're considered sort of local residents. And they're covered by the same rules. And besayif, umamayon ave, they get saif, death by sword, and their money becomes asur as well. 30 days makes them a local resident, not 12 months like in our Mishnah. Amarav lekasha. So two separate statuses that we're looking at here. One takes 30 days to achieve, one is only achieved after 12 months. Lekasha. Halav b'nei masa, hali yisuva masa. If you want to be considered b'nei masa, an actual permanent resident, yeah, that takes 12 months. Well, Yisuba Masa means a person who's dwelling, who's staying here. And that is the criteria for the Ir HaNidachas. The criterion is Yoshiva Ir, that's the Pasuk. Rashi brings the Pasuk Yoshiva Ir. As long as you've sort of been here for a while, it's enough. And that takes 30 days. Kedesanya, as we find in a similar halacha, Hamudar Anome Anshia Ir. Person made a nether, he's not allowed to have any benefit from the residents of such and such town. Who's considered a resident? If he was there 12 months, then you can't have any hana from him. He's called Anshi Ha'ir. But Pachas Mekan Mutter. If it's less than 12 months, he's not really included under that same category. But let's say he forbid himself from benefiting from the Yoishvi Ha'ir, that includes even a temporary resident. If a fellow was there for 30 days, he's included under that umbrella. Pachas mikan, mutar, lonis mimenu, less than 30 days, you can have an off from him. So clearly there are two separate categories. Yoishivir, which is a 30-day deal, and anshiir, which is 12 months. Aluchal milimi ba'inim b'zchaydev, so you mean to say for all these taxes and obligations, which require a anshiir, you have to actually identify with the city as an ish ha'ir, as a permanent resident. That only happens after 12 months. You have a b'raisa, which indicates that even less than that works. So they would typically collect all types of collections in town for tzedakah. Tamchoy was a daily food collection to provide poor people with their daily meal. Kupa was a once a week collection, a money collection for a weekly fund, which they would provide once a week. So Shleishim Yom LaTamchoy, who wants to contribute to the Tamchoy? If you're there for 30 days, you have to contribute. Shleishim Chadashim LaKupa. To provide for the Kupa, you're only obligated if you're there for 3 months. Shishal Aksus, 6 months triggers the clothing drive contribution obligation. Tisha LaKvura, 9 months, you have to pay for the Kvura of the Aniyim. Shneimasa LaPasir, there 12 months, you have to pay for reinforcement of the the wall around the city. So bottom line, we see that for many, many obligations, it gets triggered even before 12 months. Now Mishnah says, it's only 12 months. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kitna Nami Mas Nisim, Shneimasa Chodesh. True, what the Mishnah speaks about, 12 months being the minimum time for to achieve residency. Lopasia ir tanan. That pertains to paying for the walls, right? For security. And in fact, that corresponds with our brisa as well. That's only achieved after 12 months. But for other items, for tzedakah items, it takes less than that. Vamar rasi or viachnan. Hakoy lopasia ir. On the concept of pasia ir, right? Who's going to pay for that? Everybody. Afilu miyasmi, even young Yisraelim, because they need the protection like anybody else. Aval Rabbonon loy, but again the Chacham are exempt from anything that pertains to protection. The Rabbonon loy tzrichin et Yerusha, they don't need physical protection. The Torah protects them automatically. Omer Papa, l'shura, to pay for the wall. So Pasi Er was sort of reinforcing the wall. Now we're paying for a new wall or more of a substantial repair. Ulu Parsha, for a fellow who's a horse rider, right? So he's driving around town to inspect the infrastructure. Utarzina, we have a fellow who's looking after the townspeople's weapons. He sits at the gateway to the city, and he looks after the armory. Afilu miyasmi, to finance these things, you collect even from Yisraim av Rabbana, let's use on Terusa, but the Rabbana don't. Call the Musa, this is the rule. Call Musa Islam nomine. Anything that you get Hanu'ah from, I feel me ask me that, is imposed even on Yisraim. And they enjoy the benefits of all these services. Says the Gemara Rabba, what did he do? Ramat Staka Ayasmi the Bey Bar Marian. There were these Yisraim called Bey Bar Marian from the family of Bar Marian, and he took tzedakah from the children of Bar Marian. Amalei Abayis, Abayis tells him, how do you do that? Batani, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. We learned that ain't poiskin skin stuck ala Yisraim. I feel pinyin shuim to redeem a captive Jew, which is a great mitzvah, as we're going to see in a minute. Even that, we don't collect from Yisraim. Amalei, he says, you're right, typically you're right, but here I was trying to pump up their prestige, so people will deal with them and they'll be more successful. Ano lach shuvinu. Lashon of Chashivas. Kavina was doing that to provide them with prestige, so actually it was for their benefit. There was a story about a woman who was actually a guy, but she identified with Judaism. Ifra, that was her name, Ifra Hermes. And she was the mother of Imei the Shvarmang, the mother of a king called Shivar. And she used to actually keep from Tumas Nida, and she used to stand Karbonis, as discussed in Mesechas Nida. So what did she do? Shadra Arnuka the Dinri, the committee of Yosef. She sent this package of dinar of coins to Rabbi Yosef. Amar, she says, use it for a big mitzvah. Lahavi, the mitzvah rabba. What's a big mitzvah? Yosef, Rabbi Yosef, my Rabbi Yosef was sitting trying to figure out my mitzvah rabba. What exactly does she mean? What is a mitzvah rabba? Right? All mitzvahs are great. Amar, Abai says, look, it's Pidyon Shvuyim. How do I know? With the Tanir of Shmuel, Bar Yehuda. Right? We just learned, ain't place can stuck al Yisraim. We don't typically impose stuck obligations on Yisraim. I feel the Pidyon Shvuyim, even for Pidyon Shvuyim. What does that tell us about the importance of Pidyon Shvuyim? Shmamina Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabbi. Apparently, that's called a Mitzvah Rabbi. Mitzvah Rabbi. Amalei Rabba L'Rabba Amari. How do we know this? Okay, so we've just proven it, but how do we know this from a source in the Torah? Menoa Milsa Damar Rabban. How do Rabban know that in fact Pidyon Shvuyim, the Pidyon Shvuyim Mitzvah Rabbi? And Tosafot says you could actually sell a Sefer Torah for that as well. Amazing. How do we know this? Amalei Dechsev, the Pasuk says, by Yirmiyah, who was warning Klal Yisrael on the way out to Golus, it's going to be challenging, it's going to be difficult. Voyuk Yirmiyah, lech ona neitzev, amar talim, you'll tell them, wherever Hashem takes us. Koyim Hashem, asher lamabas lamabas, whoever will die naturally, that will happen to him. Asher lacherev lacherev, some will die by sword, asher lacherev lacherev, some by hunger, asher lashvi lashvi, and finally, some in captivity. Varam bi'ichnan, kolam uchar Pasuk zeh, the later references in the pasuk are more severe than the earlier references. Kasha mechaveri, Right? So the pasuk begins with natural death, over to cherev, over to rav, over to shvi. That's the worst of all. Cherev kasha mimavis. Death by sword is more difficult than dying naturally. Yibayi seim akra. Yibayi seim asvara. Either that's learned from a pasuk or just common sense. Yibayi seim asvara. It could be a svara haika minval, vailoika minval. If it happens by sword, it's a more undignified death than dying naturally. Yibayi seim akra. Or it could be learned from a pasuk. Yoker bein Hashem. It is preferred to Hashem. It is dear to Hashem. Hamafsal chasidav. That is righteous die naturally over any other way. Ruav kasha micherev. Hunger is worse than cherev. Ibo yisim asvara. It can be learned from just svara. Haikam it's dire. By lokam it's dire. Because if it's by hunger, it's an ongoing distress, ongoing tsar. Rather than cherev, which is a short-lived experience. Ibo yisim akra. Or it can be learned from a pasuk. Toyim hoyu chalei cherev mechalei rov. The ones who died by sword had an advantage over the ones who died of hunger. And finally, shvi kasha mikulam, the worst is the fellow who's in captivity. The kulu is nobe, because he's exposed to all types of distresses and all types of death. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, back to collecting stock. Kupa shel stock, this weekly stock fund, nigbis bishnayim, umeschakas bishleisha. We need two in charge of collecting, and three will distribute it. Why? Nigbis bishnayim, two individuals go around collecting it. Shein oisim surara is alat sivar. We never impose a srara on a tzibur, meaning a person who's in charge, a person who's in a position of authority in the community, that has to be done with a minimum of two people. Pachos mishnayim. So since they're going around collecting and forcing people to contribute, so they need to be two people out of respect for the tzibur. Umeschalkes b'shleish. The reason why I need three to distribute the money, kedidi momenus, like your typical bezdin, who's involved in financial matters, because they have to determine and decide who's deserving of how much money. That's a big responsibility which requires three people. The next collection is the tamchor. This was the daily food collection. Again, nigbis b'shloisha, umuschakas b'shloisha. Here we go up one. Instead of just distributing it with three people, we have to collect it with three. You know why? Because they have no time between the collection and distribution, because the food is going to spoil. So may as well start with three right away. This way they collect it and give it out right away. Shegivuya, the collection, v'chaluka, and its distribution, shavim, happen in close proximity. How often do these collections happen? Right? Tamchay is b'chol yoyim, on a daily basis, v'kufa, that's a once-a-week thing. Erev Shabbos, once a week. Tamchay, the material collected in the Tamchay collection, laniya oilam. That's meant to be given to anybody that shows up. Kufa, laniya ir, but the weekly fund is only for the local aniyim. But although this is typical, but you can make exception, the residents could decide to flip it around, to use the money of the kupa for the tamchoy to provide food, and vice versa. Apply it to any sort of tzedakah that they choose. That's their authority. What else are the bnei ha'ir allowed to do? They can manipulate the measures, you know, the let's say we have a sa'ah and a kav, all these types of measures. They can decide that these measurements should change and increase or decrease the measurements, and that becomes the new measurement. Likewise, they can establish prices for, let's say, commodities. They can establish minimum wage for the workers, right? This is the these are the workers' rates, and these things cannot be changed. These are established by the community. Not only that, they can actually enforce it very strongly. La'asiyah literally means to remove, to separate. Al-kitsasan, because of their established rules, meaning basically what he's saying is you can deviates, so to speak, from the standard rules of the Torah, meaning they can initiate their own penalties. They're allowed to do that. Initiate penalties for those who do not conform to these rules. Okay. Amar. Ein oisin sveris alat tzibur b'chaz mishnayim, an authority. These consist of two people. But not, I mean, how do we know this? Amar apnach, amar kro. We have the collection by the midbar, by the mishkan, right? Veheim, right? You need at least two people to collect the money. Yikhos ha-zov. Says the Gemara, sveris v'dloy avdi. So apparently the concern is because it's a srara, it's a position of authority, and out of respect you have to have two people involved. But it's not a question of trust. or integrity. That requires two people. Oh, hey, Muni Mehemen. But theoretically, even one person would be believed. It's not a question of him stealing money. That you're requiring, you know, two people to look over each other's shoulders. No, that's not the point. And that's a raya mesayel, the Rabbi Chanina, the Rabbi Chanina, Masa, Umina, Rabbi Shnei, Achran, Lakupa. Rabbi one time appointed two brothers to collect this money. Now, two brothers we know are considered like one with respect to edus, with respect to, you know, believability, right? You can't have a pair of edim consisting of two brothers. So, clearly, it's just a question of numbers, having two, even though they don't really have more, a greater level of believability than one person. Now the question is, my sarusa, why is it considered a sarara? You're just collecting money. Why are you taking this thing so seriously? Yeah, actually, sometimes you can get into a run-in. And you need to be pretty strict and enforce all kinds of positions on the residents if they fail to cooperate and provide generously for the tzedakah collection. You take a mashkin, you can force a homeowner to provide a collateral if he's unwilling to pay his tzedakah fees. I feel very Shabbos. You know, Erev Shabbos, it's a stressful time. If he's not going to, you know, provide his weekly donation, you can take a mashkin. So in order to carry that out, you need two people. That's really a srara. Any, is that true that they can actually, you know, forcefully do this with a balabas? Well, the pasuk says, Hashem says, I'm going to, you know, remember and pay back, punish the the ones who distress Klal Yisrael. What's the you know, what are we trying to cover here? What's the reference to? By the way, Bar Marta was his mother's name. She was a big tzaddikus, and because of her, he's called Rishmo Bar Marta. Any case, Mishmei de Rabbi is quoting Rabbi. I feel like Gaboy Tztaka. It includes even Gaboy Tztaka, who are treating the members unfairly and, you know, coming down too hard. So you see, you have to be soft and gentle when it comes to collecting tzedakah as well. How do you go ahead on Erev Shabbos, a stressful time, and go put them, you know, like Kash? The answer is like this. Depends if you're being reasonable. Or he's just, you know, playing difficult. Hada Amid, if he's known to have money and he can write a check right away, then he's just being difficult. He deserves this treatment. Hadlo Amid, otherwise, you have no right, you know, to push him and pressure him. Kehada Rava, as we find the story regarding Rava, Akbe, he forced the Renosim Bar Ami, was able to provide generously, and he forced him to provide 400 zuzim for tzedakah. Okay, on the topic of tzedakah collectors and their tremendous chus, so this is a pasuk in Daniel. And the pasuk concludes, umatzdike harab, and those who are merzaka, shine like stars forever. Who are these individuals? So the first part is going on Zeh Shadayan Shadon Dinemus Lamite. Oh, a Dayan who conducts his cases with utmost integrity. Emes Lamite. What are these two references? The Tosafot says one is that he shouldn't allow himself to be swayed, right? And bribed, and the other reference is referring to a case where actually he has to see through the crookedness of the Edom. He has witnesses, everything's right here. He senses something wrong. So he has to go with his intuition. He cannot accept their testimony. Unbelievable. So that's a dying without fear. He's done the Nemes Lamitoy. He follows the truth and only the truth. What is that? The tzedakah collectors, they will earn eternal reward. In a brisa, we have a slightly different interpretation. That's going on the first two individuals discussed. First of all, Zadayin Shadon Dinem Islamite, and number two, Gabay Tzedakah, so it covers both. Who are those people? Elu malamdi tenekas. Those that teach Torah to kids. They're called kichacham leilam void. The Marshal explains, stars are only visible at night. Where are they by day? They're still shining, but we don't see them. Malamdi tenekas. We only see them active in the classroom, but a true Rebbe is committed 24/7, even when we don't see them around. once heard a beautiful Vart, I forget from who, I think Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, he said that, maybe it was Rav Shlomo Feigl Mendelwitz, beautiful Vart, he says, what's the connection to stars? He says, look, many a star appear in our, you know, night sky, right? But in actuality, they don't even exist anymore. They burnt out years and years ago, right? And it's very, very possible because it can take many years for the thousand years for the light to filter down, right? To get from that distance down to this world. By the time they come here, the star could be gone. A Rebbe's effect on his Talmud is forever, even when the Rebbe's not here. The lessons, the inspiration, the love, the warmth, the care, the idealism, the excitement for Torah. It's embedded, it's absorbed in the student forever. Beautiful verse. Let's have an example of a Rebbe who's really committed. I'll give you an example. Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. By the way, Shilas is also his mother's name. The Rav Ashkel, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. It so happens that Rav encountered this Rebbe. And he wasn't in his classroom. The Makoy begins, he was standing in his garden. Amalis, he says, what are you doing here? Shavki lev nusach. You've abandoned your trust, meaning what happened to your commitment to your students? What are you doing in the garden? Amalis, he says, actually, it's the first time in 13 years that I'm even visiting my garden. Hot leisar shnim lechazli. And even now you should know. You know who my heart is? You know what my mind is? You know what I'm thinking of? My kids, my students. Okay, so we discussed the greatness of the Dayanim, Gabayit Stakel. The Rebbeim, V'Rabbanamai, what about the Talmid Chachamim? What level of schar are they going to get? Omar Avina, V'Oyavav, Ketzeis, there's another pasuk that describes them, in Shoiftim, V'Oyavav, the lovers of Hashem, the highest level of Oyavav Hashem, the Talmid Chachamim, Ketzeis Hashem, it's Gerosai, they'll experience the brightness, ultimate brightness, when the sun, spiritual sun, will come out in its greatness. Gaboyit stucker collectors must maintain transparency and avoid any impression of impropriety. Einon rashoin lifroish zemize. So you have a pair of gaboyim collecting, right? Like we said, they can't go their separate ways and collect separately because it might appear like, you know, he's trying to, you know, hide out and, you know, siphon off some money. So they have to be fully visible to each other all the time. Aval perish zel ashar zel chanuz. But Reuben can go to the shar, another one can go to the chanuz, to the store, as long as they're within, you know, eye view of each other. Motzo mois b'shuk. Likewise, if a guy by tzedakah happens to find money in the street, lo yitam techkisa, he shouldn't put it in his own pocket because it's going to look like he's pocketing tzedakah money. Elo nois tech arnek shal tzedakah. Rather, he should put it into the tzedakah fund, tzedakah bag. In the meantime, ulo kashav al beis. When he gets home, he claims. He'll remove it and keep it. Likewise, a collector happened to lend somebody money and he finds his fellow in the street. Who pays him back right there. Rather than putting it into the stucker in his own pocket, he doesn't do that. He puts it into the stucker pocket. When he gets home, he takes it out. Turn it up on him. So they collected lots of pennies and they want to distributed. There are no aniyim today. So Rashi says the copper coins will, you know, get tarnished or rusty. So they would typically switch it up for silver coins. Parten l'acherim. They should do it with other people. They should switch it with others. Ve'ein parten l'asim, rather than do it amongst themselves, because it might look like they're, you know, people might suspect that they're shortchanging stucco when they make these transactions. So do it in a bank. Do it l'acherim. In an open and public, transparent fashion. Likewise, Gabay Tamchoy, the food collectors, Shein Lamanim Lachal, we don't have any anim to distribute the food to. Moichon Lachem, they have to sell it. They sell it to others at a fair price. Ve'ein Moichon La'atzma, as opposed to buying it off themselves, because people might suspect that they're discounting it. Moish Al Tzedakah, in Moich Noisim Shtayim Shtayim, and you count the stock of money, don't count it two at a time, because it might appear like you're doing two for the price of one, right? And you're going to be taking money for yourself. Elachas achas, rather doing one at a time, one, two, three, four, in a transparent fashion. Omar Abai, Mereish, way back, Lo yuhava Yosef Mar. Mar, the Rebbe, Rabbo, would refuse to sit at Tzipid Veknishta on the mats in the Beis HaKnesses. Rashi says, you know why? Because they used a tzedakah money to purchase those mats. He didn't want to sit on it. But Kivin Nesham al Hadassani, once we heard the Brice, once you heard the Brice that we said before, that the townspeople have the right to direct all these funds in whichever way they choose to, it's their prerogative. So therefore, he was okay sitting on the mats which were purchased with these monies. Initially, Mar, Rebbe, the Rabbah, had two funds, two pockets. One was to provide for visitors, aniyim from out of town, and one to provide for local aniyim. So he kept the funds separate. But what happened? Kivin the Shama, once he heard about the halacha, Lahoda Amar le Shmuel, Shmuel instructed L'Rav Tachlifa Bar Avdimi, what did he tell him? Ovid Chad Kisa, don't bother making two separate funds. One is enough. Vaasni Allah. And you just stipulate with the community, make it tonight that you're going to, you know, allocate it as you see fit. And that's okay. So once you heard that, Iunami, he as well, meaning Rab as well, followed this system of Avad Kisa, Vaasni Allah, he made only one kiss with a condition. Rav Ashi Omar, Rashi says, look, I don't even go that far. I don't even have to make it tonight. I don't have to discuss it with my townspeople. You know why? The chol, the ka, asi, anybody that comes and gives me tzedakah money, he knows I'm gonna, right? It's up to my discretion. Adata didi asi, he's giving it to me with that in mind, that I'm gonna do with it as I see fit. And, you know, give it to whoever I see who needs it, right? And therefore, that's what I do. And therefore I can give it to whichever ani I choose. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We discussed the fact that Yisoyimim contribute to everything that they have hana'ah from, but Chachamim, although when it comes to, let's say, water expenses, yep, but not when it comes to Shmira expenses or other types of you know, taxes to the authorities. We learn from the Tanakh, throughout the Tanakh, we find that the Chacham are exempted from these taxes because of their immersion in Torah. Rebbe provided Parnasa for initially just at the Chachamim, but after the episode with Yonisim and Amram, who disguised himself and turned out to be a Talmud Chacham, he opened the door for everybody. At what point does a person become a Yoyishiva Yer 30 days, Anshi Yer 12 months? Pertains to contributing to the municipal expenses and pertains to other halachas as well, like Yerani Dachas, like the Mudr Hanoah. We discussed the greatness of Pidyon Shvuyim, and we discussed how to collect the Tamchoy, how to collect the Kubashot Staka. Srara Al Tzibur needs at least two people. We expounded on the Pasuk, which highlights the Chashivas of the Dayanim. Kabayit Staka, Lamde Tinoikas, how to keep transparent when it comes to maintain transparency and Erlokai when it comes to collection and distribution of Staka funds, and Ravashi's point that the Rav has the authority to allocate money as he sees wish, because that's what they had in mind when they gave it to him. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.